I think that I made it without any producer, without money. And the main obstacle that is my relation with Abu Zaid. I think the major issue is not the film, but it's my relation with Abu Zaid. And I think the film helped a lot to pacify the relation and to go more deeply in this relation.
Okay, so please ask.
Yeah.
I liked very much the film. It was very interesting and it was not at all boring, because there is this danger, you dealt with a lot of academic stuff, but to me it was not at all boring, so I want to thank you about the film. My only comment would be that your film, if screened in Egypt, will probably be understood completely by everybody, because probably it was a very big case in Egypt. But here, or in other countries, if there are people who watch it and have never heard of the case before, maybe it would be useful for you to give some key facts about the case at the beginning of the film.
You are completely right, but let me say that I never saw that this film, I will travel with this film and show it at the festival. This film was made in the beginning, and the main target is to show it in the Arab world. It's not only Egypt, but because the Abu Zaid is a major Arab intellectual, and he's well known in different Arab countries. Then my main target is to show, I want to be able to show this film in the Arab country, but it didn't happen yet. I hope that will be happen. Until now I am not allowed to show it in Egypt, but I hope I will be able during this year. This is an important point for me. It's very important that this film go back to Egypt to be shown in Egypt. But also, Abu Zaid himself, he was not allowed to travel everywhere in the Arab world and give conference on public talk. It's very interesting that last year he was invited to Kuwait City to make a public conference, and when he arrived to the airport, the Islamist deputy in the parliament, they make big scandal and they make pressure on the government. And in the end, he arrived to the airport and the Minister of Interior don't allow him to enter the city. Then he came back from the airport, they put him in the first plane, and they finished by give conference by telephone. This is interesting that this kind of film can exist and can travel under, the jacket, and especially in this kind of country. But I think this film belongs to the Arab world, but it's interesting. Okay, for a foreigner public, they will not understand all this. What mean this man? What is so, etc. But they can understand also all the human aspect of the human being. You are right. It's not for in the beginning, at least for the Western public. But it's okay.
I think it is your love for him that is very, very present. And I think through your love and through your eyes, it's evident for someone who doesn't know him how important he is. And I don't think at all that it's only for the Muslim or the Arabic audience. I think it's important for us in the other countries as well.
And also, let me say, it's also especially my love for Mohammed Hakim. It's not very clear, I know. Because in a way or another, Mohammed Hakim, he was his student and he was his spiritual son. It's also, I am behind Mohammed Hakim in this film because I go through some conflict with Abu Zaid in some moment and decide to not make any more the film. I stopped. When I know when Hakim, he died suddenly by cancer. Head cancer, take him 1 month And I went back to the Russians and I saw Hakim talking. I feel that this is myself in way or another. And I decided to make the to finish the film and to dedicate the film to Mohammad Hakim. But in the end, it's terrible because it's two dead men, one face to the other. When I put Hakim in the screen and show it to Abu Zayd, he was alive. I never saw that Abu Zayd, he would pass away suddenly like this. Then I just arrived now and I saw both, one face to the other, and both they are dying now. And it's good that in this seconds I leave the frame, I go out. I'm still alive. It's okay. Then it's also about Mohammad Hakim, because he was not only a scholar, young scholar, but he was a leader of the student leftist movement in Cairo University. He's very well known in Egypt, and very have a lot of friends and people. And he passed away suddenly. I wrote only one book, one major book, Mohammad Hakim. this is the interest of documentary or image, that sometimes, you know, Hakim passed away by accident. I still have this Russians, and he's here, he's talking, he's very young.
And alive.
Alive, you know, then, but he is not here anymore. Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment and I have a question. I agree, I think this film is relevant to non-Arabs too. And I think maybe to make it more accessible, you might want to do a shorter version that is more accessible to a non-Arab audience. So this is a suggestion maybe. And my question is that with the jihad between the Wahhabis and the Voices of Reason, where are we going with this struggle between the forces of non-reason and forces of reason within Islam? Like voices like this.
I call this film Waiting for Abu Zayd because when I met with Abu Zayd the first time, I saw that he is the savior. Face to all this kind of fundamentalism, etc. And through the years, I understood that this is not the issue of one person. It's more complicated, and this savior will never arrive. You know, it's not of one man. It's a long fight, but I think Abu Zayd, he is not a solo one man. He belonged to a secular Muslim Arab tradition. He is not only one man, but at the same time he is minority. We are minority. Then for that, this Abu Zayd, he will never arrive, because during this 6 years I understood in the end that he is not the person who will bring the solution for us, because he is not able to do it, because it's not the solution. Don't belong to one man. It's a in every Arab country, I think, or Muslim country, there's people who work within the Islam and try to open different interpretation, different door and windows. They are there. They are not so famous like as Abu Zayd, because they didn't have this case, but they are everywhere, and they belong to the Muslim culture and to Muslim religion, you know. But the problem is sometimes that, especially in Western country, that they always like some media, they like to categorize and take the Islam as, you know, one single Islam, and don't see all this multiplicity, this diversity of interpretation of then. It's, for me, it's very important at the same time that, you know, this Abu Zayd, he lived for 14 years in exile, but he never like to play the role of victim, as people as Salman Rushdie or Taslima Nasreen, and talk to the Western audience and let them hear what they like to hear. You know, he lived there, but he tried to also take critical position regarding Islamophobia, regarding, you know, then, you know, this is very important, I think, that he didn't play this game. It's very easy, because if he play it, then he will be received, he is the victim of the Islam with big A, you know, then he didn't play this game. His major fight, it was within the Arab world, and he tried when he lived in Holland, Netherlands, to not to defend the Islam, I mean, to tell people and media, etc., that be careful, because it's not one single Islam, and Islamic, like other religion, can be interpreted in different way, rational, tolerant way, or fundamentalist way.
Which is, I think, it's very important when you make this film, it should be seen by more people.
Sorry, can you?
Which is why I think it's important that this film is seen by more people, because now that he's no longer with us, that we have preserved him in this film, and he's a credible voice, so, and the voice of reason, so those of us who are arguing his point can make the point stronger by having that.
It can be, yes, but let me now show it in this way in the Arab world, and later I can think about that, because this film, it was edited before that Abu Zayd passed away, you know, and it was I edited and I finished it especially also to turn the page regarding my conflict with Abu Zayd, about media, about different person, and then it finished now, he passed away, perhaps later I can, but for the moment I need yes. ladies first.
That was the first anyway. I really like the film just as it is. I don't think you should shorten it for a Western audience. I know most of us couldn't get as much out of it as an Arab audience would. What I really liked was the fact that you have to really focus on what exactly is it that I'm hearing here? What exactly went on? I'd forgotten completely the case, and it took me a long time to get back into it, and I wish you would explain what it was that Dr. Ibtihal had done, and then I did realise what she'd done. And the only thing I would suggest is that there may be one or two bits of very small information. For example, I apologize for my ignorance. I don't know what Wahhabism is. And I don't know if you can explain it in a little title underneath, but and Taha Hussein, I don't know who that is.
It's very interesting. I mean, I'm very touched with this comment, because, you know, it's still a lot. It's very sincere and very, you know, it's. But it's still a lot about also the, the balance between culture and exchange. Because if I ask any British who show a film about Shakespeare to tell us who is Shakespeare, he will look to me and tell me, what? Shakespeare or MacDonald or I know. This is tell a lot about, you know, and about what is my, you know, because if I want to show it to a Western audience, then I will take, you know, Wahhabism, because we are living with Wahhabism everyday life, mm-hmm. You know, and at the 11th of September, the humanity paid the price. When you go to Iraq, and then Wahhabism is a major. But I understand that you don't know what is Wahhabism, because I know it is also the fault of the media and etc. But when I did it, I did it for my own public, and they, we live it every day, the Wahhabism. Then I can't explain what is Wahhabism in the film.
Yeah.
It's now up to you after that you saw the film, You can put Wahhabism in Google, and you read a little bit about it, and it's very easy. That it, this film, it's put you in this direction that perhaps you can go and look what is mean Wahhabism.
But my main point was that I
but what I
want
what,
you to shorten it, or make any no, concession but we, at all. But, I will go home and look.
No, but it's very interesting because you are touched by the film,
yes.
Because we all belong to this human being and this humanity.
The intellectual thing that's going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this is the major target. That no matter all this kind of specificity of our culture, what it still belong to the same. Humanist tradition, this kind of thinker and this kind of way to look to religion or to debate or to what is the other or to how to to deal with religion everything is a universal question. Then start from there, you was able at the same time to connect with the person and about social, religious expression and debate, intellectual debate, because, and also about, it's about mass media, because this is my part of the film, the mass media television, what are doing to us, it can be the CNN and BBC or Fox News, but we have our Al Jazeera and Arabic, Al Arabiya, also channel TV, and it's also this is also a universal question. It's how for any intellectual, it can be Bertrand Russell or it can be Noam Chomsky or other and other culture, other country, they are always facing this question. They are a thinker, they are a scholar. When they go to the television, and they are facing any other journalist who ask a stupid question. And ask them to answer this question 1 minute, and this is everywhere is the same, and for somebody like Abu Zayd, he was presented in some Arab media as the evil himself. He is the evil, and he felt in the end the need to go to this mass media and defend himself. I didn't agree with him this facility to go, to accept any kind of media to go and to make interview, but he feel it because he suffered to be presented as the evil, as the infidel. But this is also a universal question.